Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Trisha's True Crime Radio, the only show where a little dab will do you. It's true. Trisha's True Crime Radio is brought to you by the brand new forum on Web Sleuth. It's the Web Sleuth Weather Forum. You like to talk about the weather? Follow the weather. Dream about the weather. Dress up like a cloud on Friday nights when you're alone. Well, then the Weather Forum on Web Sleuth is for you. Go to www.websleuth.com/forums. And at the top of the page, you'll see a link to our brand new weather forum. It's time once again for all that legal goo. The opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and the guests, and I take no responsibility for them. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuth.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. In other words, if you get all upset about something, you can't blame Web Sleuth, you can't go to Forums for Justice. You come to me, Trisha, and Trisha's True Crime Radio. So much is going on. Tomorrow, the George Zimmerman case starts, and it's going to be dramatic from day one. Joining us to talk about the case is the world-renowned body language expert, Dr. Lillian Glass. Dr. Glass has written some fantastic blogs about the Zimmerman case, and I also want to talk to her about our new website. It's really cool. Joining us as well is Cheryl McCollum of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. Cheryl and her students, along with Dr. Sherry Jefferson, gave us their opening statements last week for the Zimmerman case. It was a great show. Cheryl is our eyes and ears on the ground in the case, and she's here to talk about the start of the trial tomorrow. But first, so many things happened over the past few days. James Gandolfini passing away. Everyone was stunned. I'm still in shock. I'm heartbroken. You do. You feel like you know the guy, even though you really don't. But it's just how it is. When somebody of his stature and his amazing acting ability passes away unexpectedly, just dropped dead at 51 of a heart attack. Now, if you've seen the last pictures taken of him eating dinner in Italy, I don't think he looked that good. He looked kind of pasty. Even pictures from a few weeks ago, he didn't have a real healthy look in his face. And I kept staring and staring at those pictures of James Gandolfini, and I thought, I have that same pasty look. You got to get healthy. You know, a lot of us are in our 50s or getting close to the 50s. We've got to get healthy. I am going to get healthy starting tomorrow, right after my Ben and Jerry's half-baked ice cream. That used to be kind of funny, but it's not anymore because we really do need to get healthy. It was just awful. And unfortunately, according to some of the doctors that I was reading who were talking about this, the only warning that a lot of people have when they're in their 50s of a heart attack is death. Death is their first warning. So what's that saying? It is, today is the first day of the rest of your life. I hated that saying. I've always hated it. So I changed it to, today might be the last day of your life, so live it to its fullest, and don't forget to tell people you care about that you love them. Okay, getting a little deep here on Trisha's True Crime Radio. Let's move to the shallow end, shall we? The Jodi Arias movie last night on Lifetime. Cheesy, cheesy. Lots of sex. And speaking of shallow, that movie was shallow. In other words, another huge hit for Lifetime television for people who don't have the internet. Actually, I really like Lifetime. I love it. I watch it all the time. But I just didn't like the movie. The actress who played Jodi was fantastic. But she didn't have Jodi's voice. That high-pitched, evil sounding voice. Her voice was too deep and nice sounding. And I don't know. I just didn't like it, but I think it was another smash hit for Lifetime. And one final thing. I have a message from Mark Redwine. Mark's son went missing while at a court-ordered visit to his father's house in Colorado, November 2012. Dylan Redwine is 14, and the search continues today for him. And I do have a message from Mark Redwine, who, by the way, admitted on this show that he failed miserably his polygraph test. So that was kind of a shock when he told us that. Here is what he texted me just a few days ago. He says he's printed flyers and had business side cards printed with Dylan's info. He did send me the flyers that he promised. I will be putting them up and sending him pictures. And he says, note, this flyer focuses on Dylan and his information, not on the reward money. He says he has spent 3 days in Denver to prepare for his Dylan Crusade. He says, I'm planning to tour the lower 48 to communicate to as many news reporters as possible Dylan's story. And it continues. He says he has a website up and running devoted to Dylan, and it can be linked to from the Find Dylan First on Facebook. And he says, I only found out today, this is a few days ago, about the planned search tomorrow. He says, quote, due to poor communication, it has made getting home difficult, with the only direct route closed due to the wildfires, and unable to participate in the effort as only authorized personnel are invited. And he says, I am as close as a phone call away. We've asked Mark Redwine to come back on the show. He says he will as soon as there is something new to report. So there you go. Back to George Zimmerman. Dr. Lillian Glass, welcome to our show tonight. Oops, you know what I need to do? I guess I need to unmute them because I don't have a producer tonight, and so therefore it's not my fault. I can hear you. It was my fault. Dr.
I'm so
Glass,
glad
welcome.
To be on your show.
Thank you, and let's go to Cheryl McCollum. Cheryl, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much, Tricia.
You bet. Dr. Glass, I was reading a fascinating blog that you wrote about the Zimmerman case concerning the 911 call. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
They're not going to allow any voice experts. What are your feelings on that?
I think that's a huge mistake, and I think that's another nail in George Zimmerman's coffin, because that really doesn't give us all the information. And in a way, it's good that they did not allow the particular voice analyst because they didn't really do a good job. When you think about it, the defense said basically that you can't analyze anything you can't analyze voice versus a scream. Well, that's true, but then what did they do about it? They needed to have conducted a little experiment where they had him actually in a position where he was screaming. And so you could compare the two screams. And so you really see that this is a very big mistake and very poor work done on both sides.
Do you think that, so there's no way the defense can even do that experiment now and try and get it in under the wire,
well,
you would think?
I don't know, because what they need to do is, in order to kind of have the situation be similar, is have Zimmerman on the ground in that same location, have somebody over him, and have him scream, into his cell phone over, so it's recorded on somebody else's cell phone, so you could kind of hear how it would come across through the telephone wave. So there's so many variables involved, but at least that would be the closest thing that you could compare the tones, because it is a definite scream. It's very high-pitched. Some people scream lower pitch. Some people have a different scream. But I think that is a very telling thing, and it's a large part of the testimony and the information. And if you don't have that, then it's all speculation.
You're absolutely right, and it is interesting about the screen.
And I should add something. There are so many sophisticated people, and even in universities, in studying acoustics and the science of sound, there could be people that could tease out that tape and really do go to town on an analysis. You do the fundamental frequency of that scream. You do the different format frequencies and compare it with a scream that's done now trying to replicate the situation. And, you know, the fact that these two, the defense and the prosecution, didn't take the time to do that and or weren't aware that something like that can be done speaks volumes and doesn't look good for what's going to happen in terms of whether justice is or is not going to be served.
What do you think about the six-person all-female jury? Is that going to be an appellate issue later?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big issue because it's really not a jury of his peers when you think about it. Women have a different way of looking at things. There may be some women that have already made up their mind because they have a son that age. Also,
exactly.
The fact that the background of Trayvon is not going to be introduced, you know, the kind of thug behavior, the gold teeth, getting in trouble in school, and his fighting behavior, all of that's not going to be introduced. So he's going to look like a little angel, and kind of similar to what Obama said, that if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon. Well, that's what many of these people may think, because we're not looking at the whole picture of Trayvon.
And to me, that's not a race issue. Dr. Glass, I have to tell you, I live in Utah, and I have no business talking about what an African American person feels. I can only go by from the outside looking in. But to uh-huh. me, you have to have the whole picture. Why did first
exactly.
of all, I blame George Zimmerman. I absolutely blame him. But why did he do what he did? And was it because Trayvon was acting suspicious? And to me, a layperson, I would think, well, yeah, you would have to, if he was acting suspicious and he's done it before in the past, and that should be brought in. Isn't that a huge appellate issue?
I think so. And I think that, you know, nobody's saying what George Zimmerman did was correct in following him, but he does need a fair trial, and he does need to have all that information. What we saw in the Jodi Arias trial, I mean, every little morsel of her life was brought forth. That needs to be done, and we saw it in the Casey Anthony case. There were scientists and people that were highly qualified and discussed information there, and that same thing needed to happen in this case. And so he's, in my view, I don't think justice is going to be served on any level, and you know, because the whole picture is definitely not there. And again, this is not taking sides. This has nothing to do with race. This has mm-hmm. to do with information being admitted in the courtroom.
Exactly. And as in the Jodi Arias trial, look what they did to Travis Alexander. I mean,
Sure. I mean, his character was besmirched, but you saw the whole picture. I mean, you, mm-hmm. and in fact, some of the juries were able to come to their conclusion because they saw the whole picture. Here, you
right.
don't see the whole picture. You're going to see a little angel boy, and perceived as a little angel, and some mean old guy went after him without,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the fact that the scream is the most important thing in the whole case.
And
that's
they're not
it.
Allowing it.
Because
I know.
You can tell what kind of a scream, who's doing it. And it's not the parents are saying that's his scream and that's not his scream. I mean, you know, you do have to understand that the tone of that scream is in terror. And
it
could be, and again, you have a witness now saying that Trayvon was on top of George Zimmerman, and he was, hurting
Climbing
him,
head.
And you see
yeah.
that you could see that George Zimmerman was yelling out, screaming. So that scream is the key, and without it, George Zimmerman did not get justice, and you know, it's going to be a ridiculous trial in my view.
I think you're absolutely right, and it's interesting what you say about the scream. How it almost sounds when I listen to it. It's such a high pitched scream that. To me, like when I scream, I've only screamed in terror twice in my life, and both times
uh-huh.
it was I thought I was going to die. And I have a low pitch horror movie scary scream. It's not anything
right.
high like that, and it just comes
and, you know,
out.
Trayvon,
you can't control it.
Sure, and I just want to say Trayvon's voice was low when you really
mm-hmm.
listen to his tapes, especially when he's talking to his friends. His voice was low, so.
Right.
You know, and it didn't have a crack in it. You know, he was of the age. It wasn't like he was going through puberty where his voice
mm-hmm.
would be high or low. It was a very formidable low-pitched voice. And
exactly.
so, you know, you wonder, you know, as far as whose voice is it, it's not that someone saying it's his voice and someone saying it's that. You have to scientifically look at that voice. You have to analyze that voice. You have to analyze it through machines. You have to analyze it through spectrographic analysis. You have to analyze it perceptually. You have to do double-blind studies. You have mm-hmm. to do like a vocal lineup. You can't just play around with it. This is a scientific experiment. And then you do this scream where you can compare the two screams or perception of it in a type of study where you actually try to replicate it as best as you can, as I said earlier, with George Zimmerman being on the ground, having somebody over him kind of reenacting the situation, him kind of, you know, making a scream. His scream may be different this time, which may not be supportive to his case, but yet we will know what is going on. You have to have some type of comparison, some scientific study done. And these two people, the defense and the prosecution's witnesses, were completely off and very unsophisticated. And of course, two of the people that were chosen were ones that reporters got a hold of to do this kind of analysis so they would have a nice news story. Well, forget the sensationalism. This is somebody's life, and unfortunately,
right.
You know, Trayvon isn't here to defend himself, but that's why it's very important to look at all the facts and to reenact all the facts and to reenact the situation and to see what's really happened here.
Thank you, Dr. Glass. We're going to come back to you in just a moment. Let's go to Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, our dear friend. What do you think about everything that Dr. Glass has been talking about so far, Cheryl?
Well, one thing that comes to my mind immediately is if I was on the defense, I would want to show his interrogation tape in its entirety. In that tape, George says, "I was screaming for help, but nobody would come." When he does the walkthrough of the neighborhood with the detective, he said, "I started to scream for help, but nobody would help me." If he's the only one that says it, the jury may very well think, well, then he was the one screaming, because there's
mm-hmm.
nobody to counter it. So, I mean, that's one of the things that, again, the jury's going to have to take into consideration. And I think when both sides have already said, use your common sense, I cannot tell you how important tomorrow's opening statements are going to be. It's going to set the tone for this whole trial.
Cheryl, do you think that George Zimmerman, based on everything that we know that is going to be allowed or not allowed in this case, is George Zimmerman able to get a true, fair trial, or is the case stacked against him?
I like to believe in the justice system, but I don't know why we don't have a change of venue. I don't know why the jury is all female. That kind of shocks me. It makes it extremely interesting. But I think that when you have a group of women that are going to be sequestered 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they can't have their cell phone but for an hour. They have to do all activities together, the entertainment, the eating, everything is together, that you're going to start to see some personalities come through. And it's difficult to get six women to agree on a Christmas tree. It's difficult to get six women to agree on how to make fried chicken. And those are things that don't matter. Those aren't even heavy issues. So I think that the odds of having a hung jury got considerably better.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that, let me rephrase this, six women...
Okay.
Great for the prosecution. Why in the world would the defense agree to this?
Because it's an automatic hung jury.
Gotcha. So in other words, they're just saying, hey, at least we can get a hung jury. Dr. Glass, what do you think
yeah.
about that?
I don't know if it's going to be a hung jury. I mean, you've got six people on there, and most of them are mothers. And it's going to be real hard to think, oh, there by the grace of God go I situation. So
mm-hmm.
I think it is a wrong move, but then again, you know, with the jury selection process, there might not have been a whole lot they could do about it.
Let me be very clear.
Pardon me?
Cheryl, go ahead.
I was just saying, I want to be real clear. I'm not predicting that. I'm thinking that's what the defense is thinking.
Oh,
that,
okay,
you know,
yeah. If the defense is thinking that, that's a
oh,
possibility.
Sure.
But it's
sure.
going to be, it's to me, it's over. You know, I
mm-hmm.
hate to say it, but to mm-hmm. me, I'm not even concerned anymore because it's so, it's a lack of justice right now, as far as I see it. This man has not gotten a fair trial.
And you know what?
Oh,
go ahead. Please continue.
Because if you leave out the most important thing, which is that scream, it's all going to come down to it. And then you can't have that tape on, you know, play to the jury, and then you have somebody saying, but that is my son, that is his voice, and then you can't have somebody else saying, no, that's my son's voice. I mean, that's worthless. You need to have why that could be a certain voice. And also the fact that it is such a high-pitched scream needs to be looked at, and also you need to show all of Trayvon's tapes so you can have some type of awareness of the pitch level, because it does sound very high. It could easily be his tape, and it could easily not be his tape, his voice. So that concerns me, and so as far as I'm concerned, the case is over, and, you know, Zimmerman lost his chance of getting proper justice.
Cheryl, do you think? Let me just tell you what I've been getting from people that I've been talking to on Web Sleuth and just out and about talking, and then Cheryl, I'll go to you. There are a lot of people that are saying, I'm not even going to watch this trial. You know, it's going to be too hateful. I'm overloaded on trials. I don't think he's going to get a fair trial. And then you have the other side that's saying, I'm going to watch it because he should get, you know, I have somebody in the chat room saying he should get murdered too. This was his fantasy. He wanted to kill somebody. And it so divides this nation. It really does. And it's going to be huge on the news and on the talk shows. And I just wish it wouldn't divide the nation so much. I wish we could just look at the evidence and decide like we should. That's so simplistic. And it just seems like we can never do that anymore. Cheryl McCollum, what were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, certainly we would like for it to be about the truth. But in this situation, again, it's going to be who do they believe, which is very different than what is the truth, sadly. But the other thing that I want people to keep in mind, a lot of times with a jury, when they get into that jury room, people can become kind of holier than thou. And, you know, you may have somebody that says, I would never let my son have sagging pants and a hoodie standing out in the rain. I didn't even know where he was. You might have somebody that takes that tone that, yes, my children are now grown, so I did a good job. You just don't know. Like the one juror that's from Chicago, she moved away to get to a safer place. Then she's thinking along those terms. Your own experiences and your own belief system will absolutely play a role in that jury room. There's no question about it. It doesn't matter what they checked on that box. Doesn't matter what they swore they would do. You can't help it. So you're going to take all of your life experiences. You're going to take all of your beliefs. You're going to take everything that you honestly think is right with you into that room. So when they start deliberating on, you know, the facts that have been presented to them, they're going to put it in whatever frame they believe is accurate. And that's hard to fight with the truth.
Boy, you said a mouthful there, Cheryl. That is absolutely true. Dr. Lillian Glass, your thoughts, please.
That is so true. And, you know, having pick juries and having, you know, when the judge, do you think you can, you know, keep your emotions clear, and do you think you can be objective? And people will swear, oh, yes, of course they can, but they can't. You know, I had one case where someone was crying before they got into the jury box, and there was, in essence, a not justice served there in that case. And so I've seen it up close and personal. And in this case, it's going to be no different. And I think that I think, Trish, what you were saying, a lot of people don't want to watch it, is because we've seen a lot of injustice, and we've seen how the jury system does work and how it may not provide the total results that are true and just. And again, this is not saying anything that George Zimmerman is right or wrong, or the Trayvon is right or wrong, because we don't know what happened, you know, and what instigated it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we see a situation that was totally out of control, really got out of, totally out of sync, that should have happened.
Right.
And now we see with the lack of, with what's going on with the attorneys, and we also see George Zimmerman physically, you know, just from a body language point of view, he's terrified. You know, I think he knows the outcome, and he sees it. And you can see it coming out in the terror in his eyes, and you could see the terror in his whole body, whether he's on medication to gain that weight so rapidly, or, you know, he could be eating his stress away, whatever. But the point is, it just saddens me when I heard that the analysts and the type of analysts they had on the 9-1-1 tape assessment came across, and how they're not going to allow that. It's just ridiculous in my mind.
It is. And Cheryl, how much will the police department's first investigation play into this? Because they cleared George in the beginning.
In a way, they did. But, yeah, it's going to play heavy. And, you know, they're going to be put under a microscope. And I'm sure they're trying to prepare for that as much as possible, because from the moment this occurred, they put handcuffs on him. They took him into the station. They interrogated him for 5 hours. They polygraphed him. They took him back to the scene, videotaped him doing a walkthrough. So they did what they were supposed to do by protocol. They called a supervisor to the scene, the whole bit. But that's why I'm telling you again, if I was the defense, I would play the whole tape in its entirety. He never lawyers up. He never badmouths anybody. He tells the story over and over and over. He passed. I would want that shown.
Right, and he's
never
consistent.
He's consistent, and he never asked for help. He didn't run from the scene. He said, I shot him. My gun's right here. I mean, you know, so again, for somebody to make their mind up that they're going to commit murder in that 60-second window, I question that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying, you know, we've got an hour here from the time he leaves 7-Eleven at 6:30 to the time he's pronounced dead at 7:30. And then we know he calls 911 at 7:09. We know the screams are heard at 7:14. We can hear the shot, right? We know when Trayvon and Dee Dee hang up. So you're talking about 60 seconds. That's not a lot of time. And again, people are speculating that he had this, you know, fantasy he wanted to hurt somebody, or he wanted to play the hero. But he calls 911 100 other times and never even pulls his weapon.
Yeah, very true.
All of this has got to factor in, Tricia, and that's why I'm saying when you have these six women, they're going to have to decide, okay, 911 says we don't need you to do that. George says, okay. How's that disobeying 911? He said, okay. However, 911 cannot give him a direct order. They can't tell anybody what to do. That's
right.
A civilian, just me and you and everybody else telling somebody what to do.
Don't know what happened during that time. Maybe he saw something that merited him following. You know, we don't really know exactly why he didn't listen to 911. We'll find that out in the trial.
He didn't listen.
But it just looked so bad.
It looks bad.
I think the whole thing, but it's turned into this racial war, which is what it's really not about.
Yeah.
It could be any person's race or anybody walking around in a neighborhood that they shouldn't be walking around in at a certain time.
Exactly. I agree. I don't think it should be about race, but they've turned it into race.
And I think the jurors are going to have there's a lot of fear, and a lot of jurors didn't want to do this because they felt that their lives would be in jeopardy. I mean, look what's happened to the Casey Anthony jurors, and look what's happened to the Jody Arias. The foreman had a different opinion than a lot of the other jury members, and he's just been, you know, raked over the coals. And so it's just it's not pleasant to be a jurist at this point in our lives.
Hey, have either of you heard about this book that George Zimmerman's father has written? Cheryl, do you know anything about it?
I have not heard anything.
Dr. Glass, have you heard anything?
No. What have you heard?
That's all I've heard, that he wrote a book. That was a headline I read.
At least he's getting his thoughts out and his feelings out, and I think that's very therapeutic for him because he definitely needs to get something out because this must be unbearable for him. Because it doesn't, you know, again, you have to look at the whole picture. And when we don't see the whole picture, how can we make a judgment of everything?
Well, I agree.
You really can't.
Absolutely.
And you have to see the whole picture of Trayvon. And, I mean, you know, when you have a president of the United States coming out and saying his son would look like Trayvon, I mean, what? Well, you only had part of that picture. Would your son have gold teeth? And would he be a thug and talk about hate and fighting? Would he look like that? So, again, you have to have the whole – he didn't have the whole picture when he made that statement, obviously.
He didn't, and that was too bad. That was unfortunate. I do – let's see. I just have to be so careful on how I say things. Let's go to the chat. I want to go to the chat room really quickly to see if we have any questions. We just have a lot of people chatting about it. And, let's see. Someone's calling this a racist show. Okay.
Oh,
that's
please.
That's wonderful. Yeah. No.
This has nothing to do with race. It has to do with a fair trial. And whoever thinks this is a racist show is very ignorant, because that's not what this is about. It could be any color. It could be the reverse. George Zimmerman could be black, and Trayvon could be white. Or it doesn't matter the race of a person. It's the actions that were done. So if you're thinking this is racist, you've got some issues.
And here's the thing. If the whole picture is going to be presented, I think we do need to look at George Zimmerman as well. Let's remember what George Zimmerman did. He lied to the judge about the money that he had in a PayPal account. And to me, that goes
poor
to
judge,
some
poor character.
That exactly. And it's like, if he will lie about that, if he will lie about that, what
well,
he would...
Well, but, you know, people lie... Again, I have a new book coming out called The Body Language of Liars. And what I found is people lie for different reasons in different situations. And they lie to protect themselves, and they lie for all kinds of reasons. He may be lying to the judge, but he may be telling the truth about the scream, you know, for example. It, you know, everything is possible. You can't just say because a person lies about a certain situation, they're a complete liar. And again,
I'm not
taking George Zimmerman's side here, so if anybody thinks that's the case, no. I just really believe in getting all of the information before we take an assessment of what is guilt and what is innocent, because you really need to look at the whole picture, and now we don't have the whole picture.
Exactly. And I'm just going to talk about George Zimmerman here, because I just I have a really strong feeling if he just hadn't had that damn gun, and I don't know. I just wish he wouldn't have had the gun.
He wouldn't have had the gun, maybe he would have been dead too. You know, you never know. Maybe it would have been reversed. Who knows? Again, we don't know. We weren't there. You know, he was the one that really got brutalized with the, you know, his head bashed against the sidewalk, et cetera. So you never know. It could have been the opposite. And you don't know, again, we just really need to see the scientific evidence here and to really look at what has happened. I don't think he's going to make a great witness if he did get on the stand. I don't think he would be a good witness. Maybe the tapes would be a better witness for him, but I don't know how he will come across now, because he doesn't present himself in a way, just even in the courtroom, that people would be receptive to. And I think that if he does testify, he's going to really have to be, through his lawyers, coached extensively.
Well, here's the other thing too. I want to bring this out, because this is something that we've talked about a lot off the air. Dr. Glass, do you have a mongoose that you're tickling in the background, or is that Cheryl? Who's
pardon
squeaking?
Me, no, you know what that is? That's my puppy, just because I'm on the air deciding to play with her little toy. with
me. Oh,
cute. So I'm trying,
okay.
I'm trying to be. So she's got a little squeeze toy, so I apologize to your audience. But that's
Annabella.
Don't
you worry. Okay, just wanted to make sure it wasn't a mongoose that you were like tormenting
or something. No, it's Annabella.
Okay, sweet little Annabella. We love her.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so let's say I'm looking at it as a mom with a son who, my son dresses all in black all the time. And he always gets caught. It's just what he does. He's just a kid. He's a, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's a wonderful, lovely, warm, loving child who dresses in black and loves metal. So right there, mm-hmm. he does get labeled. You know,
mm-hmm.
what Trayvon is walking home, and all of a sudden he sees George Zimmerman, this big guy, kind of following him, and Trayvon's like, hey, you know, Trayvon's thinking, I want to protect myself. Who the hell is this
exactly.
dude telling me what the hell to do? And
exactly.
that, you know, so I think there's that other side that we won't be able to hear because Trayvon's dead. And
yeah.
That when it comes right down to it, the worst thing that happened was Trayvon was killed. And I just hate this case. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Because without a video camera and seeing exactly what happened, it makes me crazy. But I do think that George Zimmerman would have done this to any kid, black, white, Hispanic, you know, any
mm-hmm.
kid dressed like Bozo the Clown, he would have done it to them. Because I do think he has that, you know, neighborhood watch, you know,
mentality.
Hyper overdrive. It's just, you know, it's like neighborhood watch on steroids. And
exactly.
So... anyway, I do think he won't come across very well at all. And guys in the chat room, can you please post that link again to George Zimmerman's dad's book? It's an e-book, and I went to click on it, and the chat room disappeared, so I want to try it again. So if you could just put that up there, I'd really, really appreciate it. Dr. Glass, Cheryl McCollum helps run the Cold Case Institute, Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, and they have some great kids there who are helping with cold cases and volunteering. It's all volunteer work. And
mm-hmm.
last week they came on the show and they gave some opening statements, and it was really interesting. Cheryl, what do you have in store for your students this week during the opening statements and the beginning of the trial?
Well, this week they get to watch it like it's the Super Bowl for them, so they're going to
mm-hmm.
see how well did I do in my opening versus what they actually used. But I can also tell your audience the results of our jury, if they would like to know.
Oh, yes. What are the results? They had their jury, Dr. Glass, and I'm
curious
to see.
Oh, I would love to hear this.
Yes, let's hear this.
Yes. So I teach at a predominantly black college, and we had an all-black jury. They were male and female. And here, the dynamic that I found the most interesting are the facts in this case that the jury did not know beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
After we pulled them afterwards, they were shocked that they didn't know some of the actual police report information, videotape information, 911 call information, because they just hadn't heard it. But what they did, they deliberated for quite some time, and when they came back, they were hung on murder two, and they found him guilty of manslaughter.
And I think that could be a very good representation of what it's going to be. I think that's very possible.
I think so, too, because in the world of trying to compromise with some strangers in a room that you've been living with, kind of against your will, if you will, that, you know, in that sense, everybody wins. The prosecution can claim victory, and so can the defense.
Right.
Now, again, I'm not predicting that necessarily, but I'm telling you, our jury was exhausted, and it was
mm-hmm.
extremely emotional. It wasn't something they enjoyed. They went into it thinking, oh, this will be fun, this will be exciting. It was work. And
mm-hmm.
again, there was a lot of conversation in that room, but they had some people that said, look, the prosecution did not prove to me this man committed murder,
mm-hmm.
one, two, or three. But manslaughter, they did think that George acted in that manner. So that's where they were.
Right. That is very interesting that they did that. And they were an amazing group of students. So they're going to watch this like the Super Bowl, and then we're going to hear their closing arguments, aren't we, Cheryl?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I I just found out about George Zimmerman's book, and thanks to Memoirs of a Gay Paul for giving me that link in the chat room. Interesting name. First of all, George Zimmerman's father, I'm sorry, the guy's an idiot. He did the worst thing he absolutely could for his son, claiming that African Americans are a hateful racist, basically.
Oh, no.
They're the true racists. Yeah, he comes across
Yikes.
Looking like he should belong to Hitler Youth, and I'm just going by just a couple of blurbs I've read. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want your son to be killed? I mean, come on. This is the last thing this country needs, is more of this crap thrown against the wall to see what sticks. It's absolutely disgusting. I hope nobody buys this book. I was hoping it would have been like a loving, maybe even, you know, saying, hey, here's my son. He made a mistake, but here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. But
right,
this guy...
Right.
George Zimmerman's dad is appealing to the, you know, the underbelly of the hatred that we have in this world. And that's really too bad. That is really too bad, because he could have really done his son a justice. Instead, he did an injustice. So, yeah, it's really, really bad. Dr. Glass, Cheryl, please stay with us, because I think you're going to find this very interesting. Dr. Glass, you obviously are... to me, the world-renowned expert on body language. I mean, what you have done is absolutely, truly amazing. And you wrote a book where you gave us all of the details so we could learn it, so we could tell if we were going to be taken by somebody and what they were like. You have a new look to your website. Tell us about that and what you're offering.
Well, I offer a lot of things for people. And one of the things I offer is that you can send me your tapes, your audio tapes, your video tapes, and photographs, and I can do an analysis for you and check out your own body language and see how you're doing and what your relationship is really with your mate or somebody you like or your children or what's really going on based on their body language and communication skills.
See, I think that's fast forward. I wish I would have known you a few years ago, let me tell you. You know, when I was younger and getting married and all of that. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
There's a lot. I mean, body language is so important because it doesn't lie. I mean, I have a book out called The Body Language Advantage, and I really encourage everybody to see if they could get a copy of it, because it's like a book that they can refer to throughout their life. What does that really mean? What does this mean when so-and-so says this? And then in October, actually, I have a new book coming out called The Body Language of Liars. So if you want to know who's lied to you, all the different tells that you have to look for in the right context, that book will tell you everything you need to know. And what I've done with these books is kind of give it all away, because I want everybody to know what's going on and to be body language experts in their own right.
Give us just a little sample of a liar. How can you tell a liar?
Oh, well, for one thing, you could tell a liar by certain everything. First of all, I have to preface it by saying it's in the context. It has to be in the right context. So, you know, I can scratch my nose or shrug my shoulders, or I could shuffle my feet, but it has to be in the context. And a lot of times if you look at some of these interrogation tapes, you can easily see a lot of these tells where a person is licking their lips, or they're bending down, or they're shuffling their feet, or they're shaking their head no when the answer is yes.
Yes.
And so those are very telltale signs of somebody who's not telling the truth.
I find that one very interesting. Patsy Ramsey in the Jumbany Ramsey case did that a lot. When she was saying yes, she was shaking her head no, and vice versa. Cheryl McCollum, do you think this could be useful in your life? I know it certainly could be in mine.
Oh, there's no question about it. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of Dr. Glass.
Thank you so much. I first became aware
of her when we were on the Nancy Gray Show together, and I think her work is tremendous, and there is absolutely no question that this is going to be, you know, even a powerful tool that she can go and look at George's tapes when he's being, you know, interrogated, and tell us all types of insights to maybe what he was thinking and feeling at the time and whether or not he's being deceptive.
Have you looked at his tapes?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. And that's why I didn't really see deceit in the tapes. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. He could have easily lied about his money and lied about this and that, but in that
right.
particular instance, he may not have lied. So,
right.
you know,
right.
you know, we even saw that with Jodi Arias. She was lying so much, but there were little snippets where she wasn't lying. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
it's not every 24 hours a day.
Right.
Situation.
Yeah, it's just because, you're right, just because somebody lies about something doesn't mean they'll lie about it again. And then you have the flip side. It's like, well, if they'll lie about that, then they'll lie about this. Again, this case is going to make me crazy. And by the way, we actually had to close our Trayvon George Zimmerman forum for quite a while because it just, people were so angry. And so we are going to open it starting tomorrow. We're going to open up a thread. And we're going to see how it goes. People, we just want you to post your thoughts and opinions. But just because somebody thinks George is innocent doesn't mean they're a racist. And just because somebody thinks George is guilty doesn't mean that they hate white people. I mean, so come on. Just get over the race part and let's just
exactly.
stick with the facts as we know them and go from there. Cheryl McCollum, give us your addresses where people can find out about your institute, please.
Sure, Cold Case Investigative Research Institute.org, or you can reach me anytime on Facebook or LinkedIn or any social network. You can pretty much find us. And again, Tricia, I've had a lot of incredible volunteers from your audience, and I just want to tell them again how much I appreciate all the work they're willing to do for us as well.
Thank you. We do have a caller here.
Can I just say one more thing?
Please do,
Trayvon?
Please. Yes.
This is bigger than Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. This is also a Second Amendment issue. I'm telling you, it's going to weaken the Second Amendment if he's found guilty, and that's something mm-hmm. people need to be aware of. Forget race for a minute. If someone was going to do bodily harm to you or they were threatening to kill you, you right now have the right to stop that threat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also something that's going to be under the microscope. So people need to be aware, you know, this is much bigger. This is nowhere near being over.
Exactly. Well, very good point. Very good point.
Good point.
And Dr. Glass, give us your address again of your blog and of your new website, which is fascinating.
It's
loved it.
Yeah, it's www.drlillianglass.com. Or you can go to www.lillianglass.com, and it's and then you can of course get me on Facebook or whatever, and love to speak with you and communicate with you.
Thank you, Dr. Glass. I will be in touch. Cheryl will be talking very, very soon. Ladies, thank you. It was very fascinating. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Take care.
My pleasure.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Dr. Lillian Glass and Cheryl McCollum talking about the trial that starts tomorrow, the trial that's going to make me explode internally. Speaking of mongooses, it makes me feel like I have a mongoose in my large intestine just thinking about this trial. It is that crazy. Is it about race? Is it not about race? It depends on who you ask. Is George guilty? Is he innocent? Did Trayvon play a part in it? Did he not? Depends on who you ask. Everybody has an opinion. I think except me, I am wide open. I go to one side and then I flip over the other and I go to the other. It's just awful. But let me tell you, this was not a racist show. Okay? Knock it off, please. That's what I really, really gets me mad, and why we had to close down the Trayvon Zimmerman forum is because anytime anybody said anything, we were a racist. And I'm sick of it. All right? I'm sick of it. We have to be able to discuss the facts of the case, or let people have an opinion. Okay, George Zimmerman's father, he's a racist. He wrote a book. He basically said African Americans were horrible in a nutshell. He's the racist, not people who want to discuss the case. Okay? Okay, I'm down off my soapbox. I'm not going to get mad anymore. It's the new Calm Me. I'm full of love, peace and love. And Trisha's True Crime Radio, brought to you by the brand new forum on Web Sleuths. It's the Web Sleuths Weather Forum. If you love the weather, and who doesn't, go to www.websleuths.com/forums. And at the top of the page, you'll see a link to our brand new weather forum. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. And Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from websleuths.com, LLC, and forumsforjustice.org. In other words, If you get your true crime panties in a wad about something that was said, Web Sleuths and Forums for Justice are not responsible. You just come back and we'll discuss it, okay? It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss current events and true crime, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everybody.